Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
They listen to Inside the Park. Inside the Park. The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it. I always talk.
Gambling. What do you think about gambling?
It's
not gambling when you know you're
going to
win.
He's not coming out late. The RSV family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of Inside the Park. We got the usual suspects with you. The whole team is back in full effect this week. We got Hank, we got Mike, and we're just going to try to do our best to keep that lively debate going that we had last week. We got a lot of hot topics for you guys this week. We're going to finish up our Hall of Fame discussion, and we're just going to go at it. Hank, welcome back, brother.
Glad to be back, guys. It's, I missed you guys. I feel like I've been gone a month.
I was telling Hank before the show, it's like I forgot what his voice sounded like, but he's here. And without further ado, man, let's get right into it. I wanted to start off the show giving some props to a squad that we very rarely talk about. I've been guilty of this, and at times I used to feel that my Tigers would get slighted on national TV, on national radio. Nobody would talk about the Tigers when they were losing. I want to get you guys' perspective on the Oakland A's this week. The Oakland gets a lot of disrespect. Nobody really pays them much attention. But we're coming down the home stretch, fellas, and they're right in this race. If the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs. I know, similar to Baltimore, we would say, Oakland, they won't be around. And they got a better record than the Angels. But all we hear about is Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, and the Angels. Fellas, is this some kind of new Moneyball thing going on? Is Billy Beane ahead of the curve once again? Will Oakland stick around? Mike, what the hell is going on in Oakland?
I think of Oakland is the old adage that if you play strong defense and timely hitting along with good pitching, is going to keep you in ball games and it's going to keep you in divisional races. To me, this is it reminds me of some of those Minnesota Twins teams of the last couple of years where they just don't bowl you over with talent. You know it's not a World Series squad, but they're a solid fundamental team and they play good ball. So, as a fan, that's about what Oakland can hope for now. If you're a true Oakland A's fan, you need to understand the difference between being competitive and staying in races and also being able to field a team that has the ability to win playoff series. And I don't want to confuse the two of them. This team has the ability to play solid baseball, be in the playoff race till the end, maybe even get a wild card spot. But at no point do they have the ability to consistently be considered a favorite in any playoff series against any other playoff team out there right now.
I hear you. Hank, are you a believer in these Oakland A's, man?
Well, you got to watch them play. And one thing about the A's, baseball is really funny. Sometimes you just have that season, where everybody at the same time is just doing everything right. Now, you can't look at the A's right now today and look at that roster and be afraid of it at all. But yet you see guys doing things out there that you just didn't expect. You're watching Josh Reddick He's just catching everything that comes his way, and he's turned into a spark plug. You're looking at Jonas Suspedes hitting .308 as a rookie, you know, and if it wasn't for Mike Trout, would probably be considered Rookie of the Year this year. You're looking at Bartolo Colon, you know, all of a sudden, you know, pitching, you know, quality starts. And then, and even, you know, even cast off like Brandon Inge is contributing. So they're having that kind of season. And I'm with Mike. I think that for the fans of Oakland, it's going to be exciting. You can't pick them to win a series, but with the way they've been pitching, they could steal one.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing to me that they're still in it. I think they have a shot to get in it. And in doing some show prep, you know, I had to go behind the numbers. And what amazes me is that old Moneyball concept, you know, looking for undervalued guys, looking for guys who get on base. You want somebody with a high OBP. Oakland is in the bottom half of the league. I mean, I think they're in the last two spots for OBP, so they're not getting it with guys on base. They're second to last in the league in runs scored. They're last in batting average. It seems to me like they're kind of mimicking what Tampa Bay is doing. Like Mike said, they're playing defense out of this world. They've got when they get on base, they're not wasting outs. They're one of the better base running teams. So you know that they're stealing and not getting thrown out, losing outs on the base pass, and then their pitching has just been dominant. It's like they're going with these young guys who they've gotten in trades, high draft picks. They're finally paying off. They got these young pitchers. It's very similar to what Tampa Bay is doing, and it seems like this may be the new shall we say money ball. Get your fielding, get your pitching, and then make sure that you don't waste outs on the base paths, and you take that extra base going first to third. It's not the most exciting of baseball, but these guys are doing it, and it's getting the job done. Mike, gun to your head, would you pick Oakland to stay on top above the Angels, or do you think the Angels are going to take it over?
I think it's only logical to think the A's will take over. They have more talent. The one thing I was surprised at, the A's actually have a plus 30 run differential right now. And to me, they're the classic team where they may actually be getting outscored right now, but they're winning close games. And when they get beat, they get blown out. But, you know, they're plus 30. I mean, that's solid. That is solid. But, no, I wouldn't pick them to stay ahead of the A's. Absolutely not. Or the Angels.
So you like the Angels to get that second wild card eventually?
Well, yeah. I mean, just look at the talent.
but they've had the talent all year pretty much, and Oakland's right there. Well, what about you, Hank?
No, I can't see them. I can't see them taking out the Angels. Look, you know, it's just a matter of time. We're not even really into the dog days of the summer, as they say, is just getting started. And you can't look at what Mike Trout is doing. You can't look at Pujols starting to warm up. You can't look at the fact that they went and got Zach Greinke. They still got, you know, the Cy Young leader, in my opinion, and Jerry Weaver. You have to – conventional wisdom tells you that it's a fun story. In my opinion, if you're looking at the A's opportunity to make the playoffs, you've got to look at a collapse of one of the teams in the Central. You got to see either the Tigers or the White Sox is totally just – crapping the bed down the stretch, and then they could probably sneak in under the fence. But to take it out of the West, you just got to look at Texas and the Angels. I don't see them overtaking them two.
Now this is real sports, guys, inside the park. I know you guys saw that Oakland just beat the Angels. Series just wrapped up today. They took two out of three.
Right.
You know, Oakland, like I said, they reminded me of Tampa Bay, where everybody says, oh, they can't get it done, nobody's hitting the ball. It's pitching and defense. That stuff doesn't work. And at the end of the year, they just might be there. That's what I'm seeing.
But you're seeing a lot of good baseball, RJ, in early August, okay? You have a lot of playoff savvy in with the Angels. You have it with the Texas Rangers. Hell, you got it with the Detroit Tigers. You have to see how these guys are going to respond when you come right down to crunch time. And with some of these teams in that expanded playoff, you could throw all these teams into a pillowcase. They're so close. You know, you have to ask yourself, do you think that the A's, put a gun to your head, you know, are going to be naive enough to keep it going during that time stretch? And I say no.
All right, well, we're going to table this discussion because I have a feeling this may come back a little later. Let's keep it moving. I wanted to get you guys' opinion. Trade deadline's over. The Chicago Cubs, everybody knew they were going to be sellers. They really don't have a lot as it relates to young talent on that squad or in their minor leagues. They had a trade piece in Matt Garza, and it was just announced that Garza is going on the DL. Before the deadline ended, he hurt his tricep, I believe it was. So they didn't get an opportunity to move him. It was probably, I'd say, a week or two before the deadline where this injury happened. They've just now announced he's going on the DL. And I was hoping we'd get Alex on the mic for this one, but I'll throw it to our NL Central resident, Mike, to get his opinion. Did the Cubs mess this up at all? I mean, they had an opportunity to move Garza, get some young players back. They kind of held him a little, what may be a little too long. What do you think, Mike? Should they have moved him earlier? Is it an instance where they can move him in the summer and it's no harm, no foul? What do you think the Cubs were thinking and should have done on this play?
I think the Cubs had every intention of moving him. That there was never a question of that. He's not healthy. There's even talk now about him missing the rest of the year with the inflammation in his triceps. So I can't trade a guy on the DL, I believe. They were going to have to take a significant discount for a team to rent him for the next. Well, I guess he's got another year on his contract. So it didn't make sense for the Cubs to trade him now. One, because he's not healthy and they're going to have to take a discount. And two, for a team acquiring him for a stretch run, why would you trade for a guy that isn't healthy? Just didn't make sense.
No, what I'm asking you, though, is did they hold him too long? Should they have moved him, say, in June? Or, you know, similar to how the Brewers did with CeCe Sabathia. You get him earlier, you move him earlier in the season. Don't wait till the deadline. You know you want to move this guy. Move him when you can get the most things you want.
I think what you need to remember is Dempster was on this scoreless inning run throughout June, right, and early July. So they were really kind of playing up value on both of those guys. So I think Dempster's run allowed them to hold on to Garza more. And, you know, once again, hindsight's 20/20. If they had an offer that blew them away, then, yeah, they should have made it in June as soon as they got it. But more than likely they were playing the game and trying to get as much as they could. And he got hurt.
So you're cool with it? You're okay with holding on, playing that gamble?
Tell me how that's a gamble. I mean, pitchers get hurt, right? And so you need to get the most for the guy that you have. Why didn't they trade him on April 1st? You know, they know they didn't have a shot. They should have traded the whole team then. In the end, you got to play that up, and that's a process, right? You got to get as many teams as interested as possible. Believe me, I think if the Cubs could have traded him for what they thought was fair value, they would have. And if he was healthy, they would have.
Okay. Well, Hank, you want some of this action?
Yeah, I think they blew it. I think that they thought there was – I think the fact that he got hurt right around the trade deadline hurt them. And I think that they spent way too much time with the Dempster move. You know, you look at the Cubs, and it's quite honestly, it looks like to me what they wanted to do, or what Theo Epstein wanted to do, was try to move him for some top prospects to a contender. He probably was too rich for his blood, and they thought they was going to at least be able to do as well with the Dempster move. And I think that took a lot of time away. And I think when they went to go back to address Garza, it was too late. He got himself injured, and then it's over and done with. But I think that they blew it. I think that if they were going to move him or Seriano, you know, they should have done so. And now I think they're stuck with him.
Thank you first of all, thanks for being back, Hank, and thanks for providing some reason. Mike, this is what I was saying. If I'm going to say, if I'm Theo and I'm working a trade, let's just pick, let's say, who needed Matt Guys? Let's say Arizona. We know they need pitching. Arizona is going to give you more for a season and a half of Matt Garza versus one season of Matt Garza. Knowing that, Matt Garza's value has greatly diminished now that he's injured. Pitchers, oh, they get injured. That's what happens with pitchers. You move the guy when you have the shot. Instead, you're holding on to this piece, and now the piece is gone.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I'm watching with the Cubs, I think the Cubs thought that the rest of the major leagues was going to come salivating over all of their players, and that they were going to pretty much be able to get what they wanted to get. You know, Soriano's name was bannered about, Garza's name was bannered about, as well as Dempster. You know, I thought they was just, I think that their thought was they were just going to be able to spray these guys out, and then the contenders were just going to come and scoop them up. That seems to be what was happening. Where I fault the Cubs is if they knew they weren't going to contend and they had all these pieces, they should have moved before anybody else. They should have shopped these guys. They should have showcased them before anybody else. And then they shouldn't have been pitching Garza and let Garza, just like the Milwaukee Brewers did with Greinke. Don't even risk that if you think you're going to move this guy. So I kind of blame them for all of that. They didn't handle that well at all.
See, now, how do you put up Greinke? Greinke started 3 consecutive games. They pitched the hell out of him to try to bring up his value. And generally, that's what you do with pitchers, right? Especially the guy like Garza, who's got good stuff but has been inconsistent. You pitch him. And then hopefully, like Dempster, he pitches his value up. So, to me, you guys are playing with hindsight 2020 here. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. How do I win? I can't win.
Is that when you got a guy that you're going to move, okay? And you think about what they did with Greinke, what Milwaukee did with Greinke. He missed the start before the trade deadline. He missed the start. And then it didn't look like he was going to get moved. We had the conversation. The next thing you know, after we got through talking, probably a day or so later, you know, he's in Los Angeles. You know, he's with the Angels. So I'm saying that, you know, when you anticipate that, you take every precaution if you're going to move these guys so this doesn't happen.
Michael Speech.
I don't know what to say to that.
Thank we win. Michael Speechless.
You know what? We ain't been on the air that long. That's the first time I've heard him stammer like that. You know what? Come on, Mike. Now you look at, you can't be hitting the wall now. We going down the stretch.
I was choking on some nachos. That's it, guys. Hide your dog. So here's what it comes down to, right? I'm going to give Theo some credit and say that he's got a plan in place. And he had a specific prospect he was looking to get from each team or the teams that were interested, and they weren't willing to give that guy up. So he was trying to hold out to get exactly the prospect that he wanted, the most value per Garza possible, because in my mind that was their best chip to trade, more so than Dempster.
I agree.
So he wanted top value. You risk a little bit for that, right? You know, it's the same thing like a third preseason game in the NFL. You want to play your guys, but you don't really want to play your guys. You need to play them, but you don't want them to get hurt. So, you know, stuff happens, man. Stuff happens. And I tell you what, if he would have traded him, let's say June 1st, but he didn't get the package that he could have got, then you would have said, man, he didn't get the package. He should have held out. He should have held out and got the right guys because he got undervalued for Garza. And now who else is he going to trade? This was his most valuable chip. He had to risk it a little bit. Unfortunately, the guy got hurt.
Let me ask you this, Mike, and then we'll keep it moving.
Yes, sir.
You're Theo Epstein, okay? And you already said Matt Garza you think is a better trading chip than Ryan Dempster, correct?
I do.
So why put it out there that Ryan Dempster is to be had? You're kind of splitting. If teams need starting pitching and you're telling them that, well, I've got 2 pitchers available, you're kind of splitting the offers rather than just saying, look, this is our best chip. Matt Garza is available. Give me your best offer.
Well, I think Dempster was obvious he was available. He was a free agent after the year, right? He's putting up fantastic numbers. Doesn't make sense for them to keep him. So that
how is it obvious until the GM says we're going to move him?
Well, I mean, whether he says you're going to move it or not, they were both on the table. I mean, that was implied, wasn't it?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe it shouldn't be implied.
Yeah, but because I don't say it doesn't mean that it's not implied. I mean, if I play for the Cubs and if I'm Alfonso Soler on any type of veteran making money on a short-term contract, of course I'm available. Of course. And whether you read it in ESPN doesn't mean that people didn't know it a week earlier, you know?
Well, usually when you – I hear what you're saying, but usually when you read it in ESPN, it's because somebody from the team leaked it.
Exactly, but a week late. So to me, if this was a down year for the Tigers, okay, and they were going to look to trade Verlander or somebody like that, you guys would want top value back for him, and you'd say instead of taking a second-tier prospect, man, I can get their best prospect. I just got to pitch this guy, and I got to get a little bidding going between a couple teams, and I'm going to just get a ton of guys back. I think we all do that, don't we? Instead of just taking, I'll take your first offer.
I agree with you on that piece. But you want to get some value back, and especially the Cubs.
Yeah.
But now you're stuck with okay. So now you're going to have Garza going into next year, okay?
Yeah.
But now he's damaged goods. You know, so unless he's coming out a house of fire early in the year, you're going to have to make some decisions early on.
See, now, and I wouldn't call it damaged goods. I mean, he's got a non-shoulder injury. He's got cramping in his right tricep. So it's not like he's got Tommy John surgery. And to be honest with you, if you think about the difference in what you'd get in a trade between the trade deadline this year and off season, I don't think we're talking about a lot. Starting pitching is still going to be a premium. In fact, you're going to have more teams in on it in the offseason than you would now. Matt Garza is still a guy that a lot of teams want on their squad and will be willing to pay for it. You're right, he's got to come back this year now and pitch a little bit, but at no point do I discount him if I'm a Cub. And even if let's say he doesn't come back and you got to hold on to him, really what's the difference in what you're getting back when you trade him next year as opposed to this year? There'll be some, but, you know, look what Greinke got for half a year. I mean, they got tons of prospects from the Angels. So, to me, I don't think there's a lot lost here. Yeah, it'd be nice to get everything you wanted right now. And you're right, he could get hit by a bus tomorrow, and you get nothing for him. But that's, you know, that's hindsight. What are you going to do?
Hey, Hank, let me throw this question at you. We're going to transition from Matt Garza. He's done for the year. We spent enough time on that guy. Playoff race heating up, stretch run, like you said. Who's that player? Is there a player out there, be it a September call-up, a rookie in the farm system, or an injured player? Is there one player that you can kind of earmark that's going to have an impact on this playoff race now that the trade deadline's over, rosters are pretty much set? I'm talking injured players or rookies. Who's that guy you're looking for?
I think it's real simple. I think you're looking at Evan Longoria coming back for Tampa Bay. I think he brings them another bat. You know, I think he brings them that leadership down the stretch. Now, you know, with that pitching staff, we already talked about the A's earlier. I think that that's what Tampa needed coming down the stretch was Longoria coming back and possibly giving that team a spark. So I think if there's one player that you look at that's coming back off the DL that's going to do something for the team, you got to look at Evan Longoria.
That's a mighty nice piece to add to that lineup. Do you think, well, I'm looking at the standings now, Tampa is two games out. Come October, is Tampa in it? And if so, where are they kicking out?
Listen, again, when you look at Tampa is running the same risk as the A's. And do I think Tampa – I think Tampa is a very scary team coming down the stretch, and I think we saw that last year. But, again, Tampa's playoff hopes, in my opinion, hinges on what happens in the Central. I believe that the Angels are going to get in, I believe that either the Tigers or the White Sox, one of those teams are going to have to collapse down the stretch. And if not, then it's going to be tough for Tampa to get in there. But that's where I think they, again, they're a very dangerous team with their pitching staff, and with Longoria coming back, they've proven that they can play down the stretch. So it's going to be tough on them. I would put them in, provided a team in the Central collapses.
All right. Mike, I think I know where you're going with this. I could almost bet on it, but who's your guy?
Well, I'm going to go with Longoria because he's the best guy coming off the DL. He's got the most ability to be a game changer out there. I agree with Hank on this. I look at the crowded wild card picture in the American League, and you're talking A's, Angels, Orioles, Red Sox, Tigers. Tigers are a wild card team, and Tampa Bay. And of that, who's got the best player coming back? And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Longoria is the guy that has the biggest chance to have a nice impact towards the end of the year for me.
I'm a bit surprised. You said Longoria is the best guy. What about Votto?
I'm surprised he didn't say Votto too.
You know what? I apologize for that. I don't consider – I mean, he's been out for 2 weeks, so I didn't really think of that as a long-term injury. I'm thinking guys that have been out for significant periods of time. But, yeah, Votto's a good one too.
I think you just said you just implied that Longoria is better than Votto.
But I tell you what, let me put it this way. I feel like I need to reach out and not talk about the Reds as much as I have, so I can give a nice perspective and not be so slanted in my opinion. So I've kind of banned myself from talking about them to any great extent. How about that?
All right. I went with that squad we were talking about earlier. I'm going back to Oakland. Like we said, they're doing it with pitching and defense, and they're getting a pretty good pitcher back this week, actually, Brandon McCarthy. He's an ace pitcher. He's been out for a good part of the season. Last year he had a 4.7 wins above replacement. I think that'll be a nice piece to add into that rotation. And it could be enough to keep them over that hump, throwing Brandon McCarthy back into that rotation. So it'll be interesting.
And see, that to me is the problem with the A's. Brandon McCarthy is your number one. You know, he's not a number one.
He has a 2.54 ERA and a 3.38 FIP. I mean, he can pitch.
Didn't we talk about this earlier in the year that you've got guys that maybe pitching at the top of the rotation or putting up stats that that, you know, if you had to pick a guy, he's not an elite guy. He's not. If it's game seven or something, you're not going, ooh, we got Brandon McCarthy. We're good to go.
And you know what? I think people say that because he plays in Oakland and people don't see him play. I mean, the numbers say, that's like saying Miguel Cabrera puts up these numbers, but he's really not that good. I mean, he's putting up the numbers that says he's good. Why is he not good? That wasn't rhetorical, Michael. I don't know. Maybe Mike's gone. Hank, am I tripping?
No, I'm with you on it, but I think that when you mention Brandon McCarthy, the first thing I'm thinking about like is who, and that's just what it is with the A's. Okay, they're putting up numbers. He's putting up numbers, but you know, it's just kind of hard to take him serious. RJ, to be brutally honest, you know, but he's going to add to that lineup, obviously, you know, and they need everything. They're going to need everything they can get going down the stretch.
My point exactly. So I don't know what's going on here. But looks like we may have lost Mike.
Yeah. He's probably having a fit right about now, too, so you know.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, let's do a quick commercial break, and we'll get right back with you.
Now we're going to get into our Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Resistance Digital Solutions Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
All right, hey.
Yes, sir.
Been a long time. You got a dog of the week?
You know what? There's been so much going on, and, you know, I don't want to be a repeat offender and keep going with the same guy over and over and over again. So I won't do that this week, and you know who I'm talking about. But, you know, when I look at this year, this week, I got to give credence to these two young men. It's the Upton brothers. And I don't know if you guys been paying any attention, but Justin Upton and his brother, they both hit their 100th career home run on the same day. You know, BJ and Justin, you know, they and you know, Justin, I think, been catching all the hail in Arizona, and you know, about whether he's gonna stay or not. But you just think about that, how young they are and what they're doing, and they both hit their 100th career home run on the same day. So the Upton brothers, for that, is my dog of the week.
Yeah, you know, I saw that. I was it was amazing how that symmetry worked out, and I was happy for both of those guys. They've been under a lot of fire lately.
Yeah,
so that was good to see.
Yeah.
My dog of the week, and for all you RSG regulars who caught the show last night, are going to say I'm biting and, you know, guilty as charged. I'm following PhD on this one. Last night he went with Justin Verlander, and I don't know how I can't go with him as well. I was at the ballpark, what day was that? Monday night, and I was sitting right up close. I watched Verlander throw 14 strikeouts, and he did it on 130 pitches. I mean, that's Nolan Ryan numbers there. That was another stratosphere. You don't see pitchers going for 130. Too often. He gave up zero earned runs, and he did it all against the Yankees, who have been known to pack a bat or two when they come to town. So for that performance, Justin Verlander is my dog of the week. Mike, you back?
I'm back, yeah. Just so everyone knows, if you disagree with the host, they cut you off. It's crazy.
You want to tell everybody now how Brandon McCarthy is your dog of the week?
He's not my dog of the week. He's not my dog of the week. He's a good player. Like I said, he's Ian Kennedy to me. He's a guy who's an above-average pitcher who's putting up good numbers, but if it's Game 7, I don't want Brandon McCarthy on the mound. I just don't. All right, so my dog of the week, actually we've been talking about this guy today, and I wanted to do him last week, but I went with my guy instead. So Yenis Cepedes, really have a fantastic second half. Driving the Oakland A's out there, keeping them in the race, really the most dynamic player in that lineup. I feel as far as he goes, this team's going to go. So out of making a lot with not a lot to work with there, Yenis Cepedes, my dog of the week. I think he deserves a shout-out.
Did you just say Oakland doesn't have a lot to work with out there?
They don't. They don't.
Numbers don't lie, Michael.
I agree. I just, no.
I'm thinking a little West Coast bias. This is probably a guy. How many Oakland games have you watched this year?
Wow. At least a couple innings, I think I've watched.
You can't even get to 9 innings, can you?
I can't. I don't think I can. I don't think I've seen a lot of them. I haven't done it. So, hey,
I can tell you this much. I done seen at least 9 of them walk-offs they done had this year. I ain't seen them live, but I've seen them.
There you go.
Well, That was during the mic because he's not respecting the West Coast baseball. Hank, you're on board already. You're good.
Wow. You know what? All jokes aside, now there has been some incredible ball on the left coast this year. Just think about it a minute. Now, you know, we've gone back and forth on the Diamondbacks and what they were going to do. But look at, and I don't want to get into all of the Dodgers talk, but look at what that ownership team has already done with that team this year. Look at the Giants. Look at what they're doing. Hell, look at the Angels. You know, and the A's. If you are living in California, you know, with the exception of, and to my apologies to my friends out in San Diego, you're loving this. I mean, you got baseball all up and down the coast, wherever you want to go. I said, you know, without San Diego, but that's a lot of good baseball out there.
What Hank is saying is open your eyes, Mike.
Now, would you call it a lot of good baseball or a lot of slightly above average baseball?
Okay, it's exciting baseball, okay? You go to the ballpark, you buy your ticket, you get your beer, you're going to see some good ball. With some good, exciting.
Don't back down, Hank. It's good baseball. It's good. Don't back down. It's good baseball.
Good baseball. Thank you. You're right. You got damn good pitching. You got a hell of a hitting. Up and down a lot. Yeah, you're right. Thank you, RJ. It's good damn baseball.
Now, if I told you that in all of baseball, the best record on the West Coast of any team is 10 games above 500. The best.
Okay.
That's it. That's all you got.
How many other teams are 10 games above 500?
One, two.
If you're not talking about Texas or the Yankees, there's not much.
I'm still counting. 7, 8, 9, 10. I think we got 10 teams total, and you got one of them, maybe two.
Who you got?
We're all standing down, aren't we?
Let's put them down. You got Texas, West Coast team.
That's not a West Coast team.
They're in the AL West.
The AL West. The West Coast team.
I'll tell you what, you go to Texas and tell me what the Pacific tastes like. Go ahead.
All right. Y'all ready to do this Hall of Fame discussion?
Claim Texas. That's wrong. West Coast team, you're going to claim Texas. I'll tell you what, I'm going to claim the Rockies next. All right? West Coast team. That makes Kansas City a West Coast team, too.
Hey, can we claim Detroit to be a West Coast team?
Yes,
I like the mountains.
Absolutely.
Midwest. They're in the Midwest.
They were
there
on the West Coast. They went on a trip. I know they did.
All right, I got to restore some order here. We got about 23 minutes left. Let's hit this Hall of Fame discussion from last week. If you weren't with us last week, go into iTunes. Download the show. Just search Real Sports Guys. You'll see Inside the Park from last week. Last week we covered, we had a Hall of Fame discussion on the heels of Barry Larkin going into the Hall. I wanted to get the guys' opinion on, we're working on the Pantheon, the best of the best of the Hall of Fame. So we went down all three positions in the outfield, and we gave you guys who we would choose if we could only choose one guy for each position. We let you know who we got. This week we're going to try to hammer through this infield. So let's get right to it. Hank, Hall of Fame, you're picking a catcher. What catcher are you taking?
Wow, that's a good question. You know what? There's a couple of them, but you know I got to go with Yogi Berra. The reason why I say that is because Yogi got 9 championships. Okay, he was on 9 championship teams. Okay, caught some of the greatest pitchers in baseball history. So if you're going to have a catcher, you know, you got to look at him. His numbers, you know, what started a lot of things. I know Mike could probably go with Bench, which is a very good pick. But I think you got to start with the man that, you know, championed a lot of those pitching staffs.
I like going with the bat and the defense. Mike, where are you going?
That kills me. That's like saying Robert Parrish is your best center of all time because he won a lot of championships. I'm sorry. Bill Russell is your best center of all time. When strictly he was on the best team, but he's not the best center. Yogi Berra was surrounded by unfair talent. Now, he was an awesome catcher, but you compare him to Bench from a talent perspective, and I'm not
going to... Wait a minute. Now, Bench was on some damn good teams now, too, Mike. The Big Red Machine. Now, don't start that one.
Johnny
Bench. He wasn't like he was playing on old ass play teams.
This is true. But let's talk about it like this. Yogi Berra played with an unfair advantage. They used multiple small market teams as farm systems to get the best players on their team. And if your criteria for being the best catcher of all time is that he played on the most championship teams, I'm telling you that he's got an unfair advantage over anybody else on this list because his team basically got to pick and choose whatever guys they wanted to play on their team. Johnny Bench, yes, played on an awesome team. They only won 2 championships. They went to 4 World Series, 70, 72, 75, and 76, and was an amazing player. Now, yeah, he was a Cincinnati Red, but I'll also tell you that I probably saw 3 or 4 bench games ever in my life, so it's not like I have a huge tie to him. I'm just saying, on talent, I think you got to go Bench.
Okay, and I will say to you that of the 2 World Series that they lost that he was on, they should have won both of them. Okay, I will also say to you that those teams that he played on were talented. Okay, now they weren't the Yankees of the 60s or the 50s, but they were talented. But you cannot deny the fact that in baseball's golden era, the players that we were talking about, that they all played your mazes, your errands. Okay, they won 9 championships. And by the way, oh yeah, his numbers are comparable to some of the best catchers in the game. So there you go.
I think this is the first time that we all 3 picked somebody different. This is Inside the Park when we talk baseball, but there is an argument that could be made that Bill Russell is the best center by now. But that's for another show, another debate.
Thank you.
I want to go out this message. Josh Gibson hits home runs. Could play defense. He's my guy. I never saw him play, obviously, but I mean, you can't match the slugging power. He could hit for average, and by all intents and purposes, he was a bad man behind the plate as well. Probably one of the best players in the Negro Leagues. I'm going Josh Gibson, the catcher. Give the Negro Leagues a little props. No argument there. Let's keep it moving.
No argument there. Hey, look, ain't no stats to throw up there.
There are. It's rumored to be over 800 home runs.
Right.
You hit a ball out of Yankee Stadium.
Just to play devil's advocate, I'm going to use Mike's argument. They didn't play against nobody.
We could argue on that all day. What do you mean you didn't play against anybody?
I'm just playing. You know I know.
To be honest,
I feel that's a hamstrung pick because you can't argue against it without looking like an ass. Okay?
That's why I'm saying something.
That's what I do. I pick the indisputable.
It's like saying, you know, you don't like watching the Special Olympics. You just look like an ass is what you do. Okay? I'm not going to say anything.
I'm sure we'll have some consensus on this one. First base, where you at? Let's go to Hank.
Pete Rose.
Oh, wow.
Woo. Pete Rose. And you know why? Because that's the last position he played. But you know what? I missed last week's discussion, but I'm going there for one reason alone. Because he transcended baseball, in my opinion, from the hitting standpoint. Okay, so, you know, I don't know if that was even his natural position, but I'm going to put him in there somewhere. So, Pete Rose.
All right, Mike, you want to tackle that one?
He picked a red, man. You know what? That's just a consolation pick. You're just trying to make up for picking Berra. I appreciate it. You know what I mean? That's respect. I like it. That's coming back. That's cool. I think it's a great pick. It wouldn't be my choice, but I think it's a great pick. I'm going to go with Pujols. Now, you can say Jimmy. There's been some awesome first baseman, Jimmy Fox, Lou Gehrig, go down the list. But Pujols, in my mind, has been the most incredible hitter that I've seen in my lifetime over a long period of time. And I think the thought is that he did that clean. So having said that, I'll go with Pujols.
Yeah, back to last week, the thought is he did it clean because everybody likes him. If Pujols was an asshole, pardon my French, people would say he's on steroids. But
yeah.
I digress. You know, in doing this, I looked at Pujols and I looked at Lou Gehrig. And, you know, from everything you hear, Lou Gehrig was the best first baseman ever. But it was amazing looking at both of their numbers, how closely Pujols matches up with Lou Gehrig. I picked Gehrig only because Pujols isn't done playing ball yet. But, you know, if you're ever bored, look at those two guys' numbers. I mean, we're seeing the Lou Gehrig of our time. This guy Pujols is insane, the numbers he's put up. And it was really shocking to me how close those guys' numbers are to one another. So I can't argue with Mike Pickettall. I could argue with Hank, but we're having a love fest today, so I'll keep it moving.
And once again, Lou Gehrig died young, so how do you argue with the pick without looking like an ass? All right? They made a movie about it. I cried. I can't. It's like picking against, you know, Brian Piccolo. I can't do it.
I told you, I do the undisputable. And I'm coming back one more time, and I know you won't argue with me. Second base, I got Joe Morgan, Big Red Machine, undisputable. You won't argue with me, will you, Mike?
Well, he's my pick, too, and you know what? Here's the reason. I looked at Roger Hornsby's numbers as well, and I think he's got better offensive numbers, but to be honest with you, I don't have good perspective on it. Morgan, you know, I don't want to say revolutionized the game, but brought offense back to a position that for a long time wasn't producing a lot of offense, and he was a catalyst on one of the best teams ever. So I went with Morgan too.
And he could run.
Yeah, he could.
What say you, Hank? Who got a second base?
There's no way you can dispute Joe Morgan. I mean, you know, he is the second baseman. Again, off of that Big Red Machine that Johnny Bench played for that wasn't any good, as Mike said. But, that's three Hall-of-Famers all of a sudden on that one team that we've already mentioned tonight. But I ain't saying nothing.
Wow. So, Let me ask you this question. What wins ball games, pitching or catch or hitting?
Defense.
Okay. Pitching or hitting, what wins ball games? Just your general philosophy.
Pitching.
Okay, name me two pitchers off the Big Red Machine.
Bill Gullickson, and what's your name?
Bill Gullickson pitched in the mid-80s.
I can't remember that one guy's name. Jack Billingham.
So you got Jack Billingham and that guy with the shirt, right? So we got those.
Don Gullett's the name I'm thinking about. Don Gullick and Jack Billingham.
Yeah.
I just named two players off the Big Red Machine here in Detroit, Michigan. Mark it down.
Now, Mike, give me two Yankees pitchers that pitched with Yogi Berra.
Whitey Ford is one.
One more.
I don't know that I can do it. I don't know that I can do it, and that's a good point.
Well.
But you've got a duel.
No, hey, if it's a good point, it's a good point. I don't know that I can name him. But Whitey Ford in itself, okay, you got a Hall of Famer right there.
Johnny Podras.
This is an Hank's wheelhouse. Hank went to school with these guys.
That's true.
Hey, Little League with them. That's right.
All right. Shortstop. Where are you going, Mike?
Wow. Okay, so here's where I'm going to veer off from you guys a little bit. And I took the assignment a little bit differently, talking about what is the best team, okay? So, Hank, you weren't here last week. I picked Ricky Henderson in center field because from a team perspective, I'm making a lineup out. I don't need everybody to hit 40 home runs and drive in 150. I need guys that can generate runs. I believe you win on speed, defense, and pitching, and a good lineup. So it's shortstop. I went with the best shortstop in history defensively, and that's Ozzie Smith. Because I think I got enough bats in the lineup that if I get a guy at shortstop who can save me, you know, one run a game, by the way he played, it makes my team that much better.
Interesting perspective, but, I would be willing to bet that, I mean, we're talking about the cream of the crop Hall of Famers. Aren't all of them hitting and playing defense? I mean, most of the guys you pick?
Yeah, but once again, shortstop has traditionally been a position of defense only, right? Or at least that was the primary concern. That's changed lately. But even if you look at more recent guys, you know, whether it's Derek Jeter, Cal Ripken Jr., those guys, although good defensively, let's be honest, couldn't hold Ozzie's jock when it comes to that. So if I want an all-glove defensive shortstop that's going to do backflips before the game, I'm going to go with Ozzie Smith. If you tell me I got to start a team with one guy, no way do I pick him.
I get it. Where are you going, Hank?
Well, since we're going with an all-defensive team, I think I'll go with Astuble Cabrera.
Yeah.
Of course we're not. I'm going with Cal Ripken. I mean, you know, Cal Ripken, people forget when Cal Ripken first started playing shortstop with the Orioles, he was an incredible defensive shortstop. What he brought to the position outside of it was that power. He was one of the first big shortstops in the league. One of the first power hitting shortstops in the league. Before Cal Ripken, people forget, the shortstop was a little tiny fella that just kind of held down your defense, your infield. He transcended that position, you know, and then he didn't miss no ball game. Now, later in his career, he probably should have sat down. But, you know, what he did early in his career that made him a Hall of Famer, you know, you got to go back and take a look at that. He was an incredible defensive shortstop.
Yeah, you guys both picked some transcendent players. I mean, Ozzie revolutionized defense at shortstop. Cal, like you said, he's the grandfather of the A-Rods and the Jeters. He started all that.
Yes.
A big shortstop that could hit a little bit. The Nomars, they all looked to Cal.
If I can put one word in here before you go, RJ, I apologize. You talk about him defensively, and so the reason I didn't pick Cal is if I was going to go off of offensive numbers, I would have picked somebody more recent. I think A-Rod qualifies as a shortstop, even Jeter. He's got 431 home runs, but defensively, I'm going to dispute your talk about great defensive shortstop. He won two gold gloves in a 20-some year career, and Cal Ripken to me is a guy who gets rewarded for longevity. I think he was an excellent player. I don't think he was a transcendent player. I think he was a very good player. I would put him on level with George Brett. And the problem is, if he didn't play 2,131 games in a row, I don't think we would have him on such a pedestal that we do. And to kind of further that point, I would ask you, can you name any of the guys that won gold gloves over him in the 80s from the American League? Shortstops? Yeah.
Oh, give me a minute. I'll get back to you on that one. I got to think about it.
I think of him defensive shortstop, and I was amazed to find that he only won two gold gloves. So obviously,
Omar Vizquel.
No, not in the 80s. I mean, in the 90s, but, you know.
Alan Trammell. In fact, Alan Trammell and him going back-to-back, if I'm not mistaken. Ain't that right, RJ?
You don't get me to lie. But, My praise for Cal Ripken had more to do with him being one of the larger shortstops who could hit. It wasn't really about the defense with Cal for me, and I never would use a gold glove to measure somebody's defensive ability, because usually the guys who vote for gold gloves are just saying, can this guy hit, and how does he play a shortstop?
You don't want
a gold glove.
Establishment, RJ.
What's that?
Fight the power, man. Fight the power.
Damn right. So, that being said, Cal Ripken was the guy who made it okay for other larger guys to play a position, like you stated, with Ozzie Smith, a position that was a defensive position. You needed a little quick guy like Ozzie. Cal Ripken made it okay for A-Rod to go to his high school coach and say, hey, I want to play shortstop. Or Derek Jeter to go to his high school coach, because I want to play shortstop. You get these bigger guys and Nomars. That was my argument for Cal Ripken. He kind of started all that.
Yeah, just admit it. The problem with Cal Ripken is that it allowed every 250-pound guy on my softball team think he could play shortstop because Cal could do it. So I got to thank Cal for that because I got to put up with that. No range guys thinking they can do it. And, Hank, let's be honest, you picked him because of his piercing blue eyes. Let's just get it out there.
Yeah, I just love the way he looks at me.
Billy just doesn't do it, does he?
You know, you know what? No, he don't. I can't even say nothing. Only thing about it is that Billy Ripken played with the Tigers for a hot second.
We got under 5 minutes left, fellas. Two more spots to go. Third base, who you got, Mike?
All right, here's an offense-defensive pick for me. Since I went Ozzy at shortstop, I can't go Brooks Robinson at third. I got to go Mike Schmidt. And once again, I'm going with the better offensive numbers. I'm not a huge, huge Mike Schmidt fan. I was kind of surprised here with the selection here. For me, I thought there'd be a more standout candidate.
Yeah, you know, it's funny if you ever want to check it out. There's not a lot of third basemen actually in the Hall of Fame. That's kind of a position that you know, they don't really get their just due, so to speak. But like you, man, I went to Mike Schmidt as well. I wouldn't fault anybody who picked Brooks Robinson, but Mike Schmidt, to use your argument, Mike, won some gold gloves. I'm sure his hitting had something to do with that, and he could do it all over there. Hank, who you got?
You know what? I have Mike Schmidt, too. I mean, and you're absolutely right. When you think about third baseman, especially modern day, you know, it's your Brooks Robinson, it's your Mike Schmidt, and then, you know, it's your George Brett. And then it's pretty much everybody else. And I'm pretty sure there's some excellent off-ball players out there. But Mike Schmidt, again, another player, you know, power numbers at the corner. You know, batting third in your lineup and just banging the daylights out the ball. Again, another player that changed the position, you know. So I'm with you guys on that.
All right, let's wrap it up. 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Hank, where are you going for your starting pitcher?
Bob Gibson. Can't help but go with Bob. Bob was a nasty pitcher back in the day. I would love to see him pitch now.
Yeah, you know, I at first thought I was going Walter Johnson, but I got Bob Gibson's name right next to it. He was one of my favorite players. You know, I've had an opportunity to watch some of his games on DVD, of course. Just the competitive nature, the fierceness that he went to the mound. I don't know how you couldn't like that guy. He beat the Tigers quite a bit, but yet and still, it's a pleasure to see that guy pitch and hear all those stories about Bob Gibson. What about you, Mike?
I don't see how you go wrong with any pick here. I went with Sandy Koufax. Just for such a limited period of time, the guy was absolutely dominant. He didn't have the career that Gibson had, but you know, once again, we talk about guys you want on the mound, Game 7 in their prime, and it's not Brandon McCarthy; it's Sandy Koufax.
The West Coast bias, Mike. We thank you for that.
Wait, Sandy pitched on the West Coast.
You still have a West Coast bias. And all the listeners heard it tonight. We had a fun show. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. I said it before, I'll say it again. If you missed any shows, please do. Go into iTunes, download those past shows, check them out. Just search Real Sports Guys. We'll pop right up in the iTunes. We'll be back next week, same time, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central. Hank, go ahead and take us home.
All right, now, ball game over, folks. Drive home safe.
Peace. Numbers are there, they're there. All right. You there?